standard procedure.
Patty Heft here.
David Jordan here.
Greg Madsen here.
Tina Danforth.
Brandon Stevens.
Just for public announcement, chairman is gone today, this morning. His mother had medical issues, and he's en route with her to the have attention taken to them. So Melinda is out on medical leave. Vince De La Rosa has called in with to acknowledge his not coming in today. And Paul Ninham is out sick today. We have nobody for the opening, so we'll go right into the approval of the agenda. Any changes?
The following is the list for additions to today's agenda. We'll take those up in the additions section. For open, I don't think I have anything for open. I know there might be two travel requests, but I'm not sure. There is a travel request. Okay. So one travel request from Brandon Stevens to the 2014 Winter Legislative Summit in Washington, D.C. And then just let me check on one other item. And then for closed session, we have the treasurer's report for December. We have an HR item from my office, the tribal secretary's office, to extend the LTE position and post for the executive clerk. Third is a request for a legal review of the tribe's agreement with PTAC. And fourth is a request that came in from the health, Comprehensive Health Division to approve an employment contract with a doctor whose name is David Dubinsky. And then when we take that up, we'll have to go back into executive session to discuss that. Delete from the agenda the travel request from Vince De La Rosa to go to Madison. And you have some handouts. You have the handouts for the Finance Committee meeting of January 17. You have a handout from the ombudsman regarding a recommendation to create a national ombudsman position. You have a handout from the LRO regarding the resolution for the Oneida election laws fines that will be imposed for this year. And you also have some backup for the pardon and forgiveness item that's also on the agenda. And then I don't know if there's any others that others have to add to today.
Mr. Chair, make a motion to approve the agenda with all the due changes.
A motion by David Jordan to approve the agenda.
Second.
Seconded by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. No oaths of office. No minutes. The minutes are January 8th, 2011, or 2014 regular meeting minutes to be approved.
Motion to approve.
Motion by David Jordan to approve, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Resolutions. It's regarding the tribal election fines imposed on the campaign sign restrictions.
Okay.
was a handout for you. I did forward it to the election board to ensure that they had no issues with it. I didn't hear anything back from them. I don't know if they have comments now, but this pretty much mirrors the SOP that they had. The last resolution that was brought before you was to simply recognize their SOP as being fair, but that didn't meet the requirements of the law. And so I redrafted the resolution to actually set out the fines as required by the law.
The election board doesn't have any problems with including the language of the fines into the resolution.
Motion to approve the resolution.
Support.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the resolution by Patty Heff, supported by David Jordan. Discussion? All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Thank you. Under reports, we have Diane McCluster, Ombudsman.
Morning.
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 First thing that I have for you is my quarterly report or my quarterly update. I want to just take a moment to say thank you for allowing me to have this deferred from the last meeting to this meeting due to what I had going on. Going through the quarterly report, just looking at the current functional development and design of the office, some of the just going to highlight some of the stuff. I'm not going to go through every aspect of the report. Continually working on to identify the design of a consistent system and process for addressing and managing concerns or complaints, something that's I've continually brought up as I brought my reports. One of the things that seems to be more of a system-wide matter is just the discrepancies in how complaints, whether they're from community members or internal, are addressed, in looking at how can we potentially develop a system where things are handled more consistently so we get people following the processes that we currently have in place instead of finding ways to constantly circumvent those processes. About the best example I can give is as a community member, if I have a concern or an issue with a functioning area of the organization, if I either don't want to go to that area to address my concern because I don't think I'm going to be heard, sometimes as a community member I may bring it to the level of leadership. Basically, you guys as the business committee expecting that you're going to do something for me, which can create some difficulties for yourselves as leadership getting involved in those functional operational concerns or issues that really need to be directed back down to where they can be addressed so that they can be handled in a more efficient and effective manner versus if I come to Patty's office and say, this is what's going on, I want you to do something. She doesn't have necessarily the authority to do that. There's rules, laws, regulations out there that pertain to my interaction, whether it's with health services, whether it's with some kind of financial services. But we have created an environment from a community perspective that it seems to be, well, if I kick and scream loud enough and long enough at somebody's door, they're going to make something happen. And that's not appropriate. Again, we have systems in place. Many of them may be outdated or need to be revamped and relooked at. But to have some form of a consistent process, specifically at the level of leadership, to help address that, to help direct people in a good way back to where they need to go, could really start to create a better environment of people stopping. We're never going to completely get rid of it, but reducing that amount of circumventing that goes on with those processes that are in place that throw a lot of kinks in the smooth functioning of Oneida as an organization. Another part of under the functional development within the office has been looking at the development or creation of a matrix of those different tools, services, and things that are out there, both from an employment perspective and from a community interaction perspective. Some of that links over into the directive that my office was given in looking at an expansion, and we can get into that with that report. But again, it's something that as an organizational ombudsman, we look at anyhow because those are the kinds of things that help me do my job. And it's one of those things that it seems to be lacking with Oneida as a community and as an organization is just having that resource tool of really identifying what's available out there, where do I go, and that creates some of the struggles that we see between the organization and the community. Looking at what's going on under building and maintaining relationships, there's been a lot of work looking at just continuing the collaborative networking between my office, different divisions and departments. Again, some of that has been enhanced from the directive I was given as far as looking at options for expansion. I come from a perspective of whatever can enhance that collaborative working teamwork within the organization, I'm all for it, because as an organization, the more we work collaboratively as a team, the better off we are. You know, the reality is we're all on Team Oneida as an organization, and we have a long history of functioning in silos, and it does take time for that to correct itself and for people to get together, working together to correct that, but one step at a time. Let's see. Looking at identified challenges or actions, again, from just the area of my report where I talk about the building and maintaining relationships, one of the things that I really wanted to highlight, and I kind of talked about this already, is, and I'm just going to read it right out of the report. I have in here that the Oneida Tribe is full of many policies and processes intended to assist with equity of action, efficiency in practice, and the overall positive functioning. It often comes to surface that many of these policies and processes may be outdated and at times circumvented by the organization, leading to inequity in how things are done. And again, that kind of goes back to the whole aspect of how we handle concerns, complaints, whether from internal or external sources. Looking at the section of the information and case management, we have the standard breakdown of casework that I've provided. If there's any questions on that, let me know. I'm not going to go too far into detail. You've got all that in front of you. Next section, the professional development. Some of the things that my office has been doing from that perspective is continuing to work with Quality of Life Committee as far as getting that stuff, their functioning, and that collaborative interaction that's occurring there. I want to give a lot of kudos both to the committee and to the organization. Working in the backgrounds of that, we've had some of those conversations. Things can seem like they're moving slow and be frustrating at times. Not too long ago, I did have the conversation with Paul as the chairman of that committee, because again, sometimes it seems like things move slow, but being able to look at the overall picture and have the conversation where we have division directors, we have staff of program areas sitting down at the table wanting to work together, anxious to work together, where if we turn the clock back 6-9 months ago, that wasn't happening. So we need to really look at all those positive strides. And yeah, it does take time because it's a change in how we do business. It's a change in how we interact. And that the biggest part of that with those kind of changes really comes down to developing relationships and developing trust. And that doesn't happen overnight, but we're getting there. And I'm really excited about that. And again, you know, just a lot of kudos both to that committee and to the organization itself. Some of the things that I've done is, you know, I've completed some of the different virtual training. Last fiscal year, we had some issues from the budget standpoint that I did not attend my annual conference with the association that I'm connected to. That was addressed in this fiscal year's budget. So in place of that, we looked at some virtual trainings just to keep skills sharp and stay with more of the best practices. Over the last quarter, one of my biggest achievements was that back in December on the 12th, I finally achieved my COOP, which is a Certified Organizational Ombudsman Practitioner. That is an international certification. There are currently myself now making 2 Native Americans in about, there's 98 internationally certified organizational ombudsmen. So that was a long process. but something that, you know, we've put time and energy into as an organization, and I think it says a lot for where we're going as an organization and the value that's being placed in what this profession can bring both to the organization and the community. Looking at current goals or going into the next quarter, just continuously looking at improvement of tools, what tools are available, how can that be brought out. One of the big pieces is looking at communication, how to communicate out some of those things. The goals of the office, without going too in-depth with all of them, is really right now kind of waiting. I've kind of put things on hold, waiting to see where we're going to go once we go through the recommendations that I put forward as far as looking at a possible expansion, efficiency, effectiveness, financial responsibility. It doesn't seem to me to make a whole lot of sense for me to put a lot of energy into looking at those long-term goals of an office of one if we're going to expand. So once I get those answers, you know, I can't see, it doesn't make sense to me to do something two and three times over. Let's get a direction and then go from there so that we're not wasting resources. I mean, as human capital, as an employee of the organization, that's a resource. So let's not waste my time. Let's not waste your time. Let's not waste the dollars of my salary for me to do something three times over when get some direction and we can hopefully do it right once. So does anybody have any questions on the quarterly report?
Motion to accept the report.
Yeah, motion by Patty Heff to accept the report.
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. Discussion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Thank you for that, Diane.
Mr. Chairman, in regards to the other follow-up item that was due today, I'd like to make a motion to refer that to the Quality of Life Standing Committee so they can talk about it at that level. So that would be my motion, is to defer the request for a recommendation on how to expand the ombudsman role to a national one to the Quality of Life Standing Committee.
Do we have a motion by Patty Heff that stated?
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. Discussion. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Very good. Next, we have Division of Land Management. Pat. Morning.
Morning. Just to kind of highlight things in our quarterly report, we've had some pretty good successes working with our home buyer opportunity for our clients around trying to streamline that, especially when it's on trust land. When we do the NEPA, the environmental assessment, BAIA has requirements and IHS has requirements. And, you know, we work through the zoning permits and stuff. So we've been working with the three divisions around how might we improve that process, and then also working with BIA and IHS to kind of streamline those for applicants as they go through the HBO. So we've had some pretty good successes working with BIA to kind of shorten some of those streamlines and what we could do for them to help encourage that process to moving forward. What really specific information would they like to see in environmental assessments as those get clearance for those BIAs? So this past quarter, it looks like we're going to be able to shorten a lot of those days up working with those two agencies. So we're on course with budget. I think we have a little bit positive variance for this month. We did have two land use licenses that were processed through the Land Commission and through our Division of Land Management. So Brown County asks for additional usage of a snowmobile trail through one of our properties, and Land Commission granted that. And then we also are working on a study, environmental is working on a study with actually New Waters, the old Metropolitan Sewage Districts, and also around the phosphorus of Silver Creek. So we got approval to put a gauging station in there, which we think that's pretty important as around those phosphorus standards and the adaptive management. It doesn't make a lot of sense if we can take out more phosphorus than Nonpoint versus trying to build a $230 million facility to take out phosphorus. So those kind of things, these pilot studies are kind of leaning away toward maybe we can do some of these BMPs, additional BMP work, and actually get paid for environmental practices that we're actually putting on our lands versus the point source paying. So that's kind of, you know, in the short version of that, what we're working on. So we did purchase one of the Dream Homes back from an improvement. And then we're also have an accepted offer, as you guys know, on the CIATs, and we're working with gaming. But I did want to draw attention to the 40 acres. I think we briefly mentioned that within environmental, but DOT is doing a wetland mitigation site on within the reservation. They purchased lands. It's right next adjacent to our lands, and we're actually going to do a restoration, combined restoration of a wetland in that area through the mitigation, and then they're going to turn over the land once we finish the restoration to the tribe at no cost to the tribe for those 40 acres. So we're pretty excited about that. We'll continue to try to work with the tenants to try to streamline work orders and streamline our customer services to them. So we actually rolled out a new work order where we're getting more involved with the administration, where they actually take on more of the process and making sure our guys can get on and just actually do the work. So have them do less administration and have the administration do the administration work. So we send out that new process to our tenants. We'll continue to get articles, you know, telling the story, what's going on in Division of Land Management, really try to open up that communications. So each department is required to submit an article every month. So we're trying to, you know, HBO process, what's title and trust process, you know, so all the way through. So within a year, we're hoping that we're going to have all that open communication of what Division of Land Management does through the Gully WESAC. So. Another nice thing, we've been able to do 990 acres into trust this past quarter with a savings of about $123,000. So really good job by the fee to trust process. And we're actually looking to try, right now they have a goal of 25 properties to get into trust, the BIA does. We think we can move that up a little bit. We think we should, especially if they're residential, there's not a lot of work that needs to get around residential, so we think with those numbers can double. So we're going to be working with that process in the next quarter to see if we can have them set new targets for us, especially in the Green Bay area, because I think there's about 115 properties that still need put in trust that's eligible. So we really want to cut that number way down. So. So those are kind of future. You guys recognize Carla Clark. That's a big, you know, 25 years. So that's I think that's worthy mentioning. And probably the last thing to just kind of talk about. So as we streamline the process of fee to trust, and we're part of the fee to trust advisory council meetings. You know, the chairman's on that, and then Fred was on that as an alternate. So what we're going to do is put a letter together to actually have Laura Hartman, who is the Fee to Trust Coordinator for us, to have her as the alternate. It really pushes that, you know, right down to the person who's actually getting that. So we're hoping to kind of streamline that. So we'll, you know, if it's okay with you, we'll get work with the chair's office to kind of submit that resolution in place to have her as the alternate. So that's about the highlights of the report. Any questions or comments?
I do, Pat. On the audits, with the audit department, are you getting any leeway with getting your policies and procedures in order with
yes,
Donna?
Yes, we did meet with the audits, and for the acquisition, so as you know, they're splitting the audits in half. The acquisition will move toward the RFP, and they'll be getting that out soon. From what I understand, we got them all the information they need. They feel that audit will be done this spring, and then we'd work with the BC, and hopefully then we can remove the moratorium. And the other stuff, we constantly give them new information as we're updating. I think we've reviewed seven SOPs now and updated and worked with the Land Commission to get those approved. So the audits are reviewing those new ones also. So I think things are moving along pretty good now, so we're really looking forward and, you know, moving forward with these audits and getting some recommendations back so we can also put in some more improvements and stuff, so, and limit the risks that might be out there, so.
Brandon.
I sent you the Assistant Secretary's new decision on fee to trust properties.
Yes.
That over 200 acres that he'll put into trust and he'll surpass the IAIA appeal process. So it'll shorten that process down to a year. So those are the types of things we're looking for as far as getting the SOPs in order so we can lift a moratorium and then start putting those parcels over there in the trust a lot faster and bigger parcels. Right. So this is what we're trying to do is we got it all lined up. So we get those policies and procedures in place and we can get
right
going.
Now, yeah, we're reviewing those new regulations too and we're changing our policies to make sure, our SOPs to make sure that we address those new regulations too. So.
Thank you.
And I think just to have a quick conversation with Nate regarding the Green Bay properties would help too. Just put some new
and there's new people in the consortium, the PIA office. So and I haven't had a chance to meet them. So we're probably going to go up there next month for us to meet the new supervisors, kind of talk about our expectation, talk about their expectation, and then really try to open up more of that communications, especially if it's on our end. If there's more work we can do on our end to save them time, I think that'll be really important to have those conversations with them because it's really around the technical information that we're giving them. So we don't have to go back and forth and, you know, supplement the information, and we get it to them all at the upfront based on what their reviews are. So I think that'll be a good, well worth meeting going up. So.
Motion to accept the report.
A motion by David Jordan to
support.
Supported by Tina Danforth. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
Pat, do you need the action to appoint Carla Clark as the alternative to that?
No, there'd be Lauren Hartman.
Or Laura Hartman?
We'll write that up.
Okay.
And we'll work with the law office to make sure we get
all
it in
good.
The right language. So. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't see Chris here.
Chris Johns asked to defer his report to the next meeting.
Okay.
So moved.
A motion by
support.
Brandon Stevens to
defer
the self-governance report, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next we have Internal Services Division. Joni. Morning.
Good morning, Joni Buckley, Internal Services. In this last quarter, some of the things we keep doing is we're advancing in a very collaborative way. So I just kind of want to put that out there, is that, as they say, we're crossing the party lines or we're crossing departments and we're uniting departments and divisions to work together toward outcomes. And I think you're going to see that throughout the report. We look at new forms for this. The Microsoft 365 is also a big effort that MIS did in changing to Outlook. I know there were a lot of headaches in some of it, but it was a strong team approach. It wasn't just MIS. It was a lot of departments working together to implement that. You look at a lot of the work that we've done in agriculture also across the different areas. OSEF's working strongly with the school system, looking at putting some food in there. So I think all of that needs to be mentioned, is that we're bringing our resources together to work together towards some strong outcomes. You'll see MIS's technical work there in the report as far as the the Microsoft O365, the work that they continue to do with the healthcare. I want to also note that the grants department continues to seek external funding. One thing that they continue to look at now is foundations. With agencies diminishing the funds that they're giving you, we have to look at new areas. A lot of the foundations, agencies now are asking for matched funds. So I just want to put that out there again as we start to look at next year's fiscal budget, that that's going to be an important component. I think we need to continue to celebrate a lot of the work. Currently, they hold the return on investment of 21-1. I think that's exceptional with our staff to continue to work with the different departments. This Friday, the ANA will be here, and they're going to be here to talk specifically about that workforce grant and the fact that they want to see what the plan is because we were not drawing the money down. So from their perspective, it looks like we are not taking that grant and really implementing it. So not only will they do a site visit this Friday, but they're also going to look at the scope of the work and the plan. So I encourage any business committee members that do want to be over there at the meeting at 1 o'clock at Skinandoah to welcome the ANA team from Washington.
What day is that?
Pardon?
What?
This Friday.
This Friday.
1 o'clock. They are also working on the 7871, which is a youth development grant that we have with First Nations. And that one is really to set up what we call the 501c3 comparable in Indian Country, where we could go get technically donations from any community members in the greater community and give them the contribution write-off for their federal tax. So we're working on the framework on that one, and we're going to be presenting that not this coming month, but the next month at the Quality of Life meeting, just to present the framework of it. Jahinqua, with their goals, and you're going to see in the report the strategies and how they're working toward their strategies of embracing heritage. They've increased their production from 6 acres to 9 acres. We had a little bit of a challenge getting the production off the field, but we're going to have to look at new systems for labor. We don't need labor throughout the year. We just need it 2 days here, 3 days there, and 4 days here. And you're going to see that impact both the Jahinqua farm and the large farm and the apple orchard in getting all that product off. So that's, I'm sorry, that's something we'll be working on this next year to figure out how to get that labor in place. OSEF is also working very hard with the school and educational outreach. Excuse me. And in their report, you'll see, too, that they're promoting the healthy foods, but they're also looking at using the 4-H to do it. Now, one thing I failed to mention in Jahinqua, a challenge we're going to have is the boilers out. So the question continues to be, do we move them to a new location to get that operation up and running, or do we replace a boiler and keep working in that? And that's something we keep toying with. We thought we'd have the opportunity of moving them to the food center, but that hasn't materialized yet. So I think we're going to have to go back and inventory their equipment so that they can continue to produce. So I just pose that as a challenge we're looking at. We also have the USDA value-added grant. And in reality, in Indian Country, there were probably 3 tribes that got the value-added grant. And we're getting a lot of calls from other tribes of how we did it and to help them. We just got a call from the Cherokee tribe of Oklahoma, and so we're going to be helping them. In exchange, they have some advancements in other areas that would help us, like the CDFI and some other centers. So we'll work collaborative. The Golly Wee Sox finished their second photo, and I think this has been well received. The idea behind this is continuing to see a community through our community members' eyes. So it's important for them to continue that exercise in it. They're going to be working with the election board to create awareness also for this next annual election. Legal resources. One of their challenges, too, is, again, they lost their graphics person to marketing at the casino. So as we start looking at it, it's important for us to start looking at how we can reorganize, reassess, and change the landscape to maximize resources. Legal resources, they're here obviously to provide employee advocacy, and also they're supporting some of the aid to the community. Charlene Smith retired, so that's a wonderful, wonderful asset that we had. So with her retirement, it gives us an opportunity again to look at the landscape and what their outputs are. Tourism, again, as their strategy says, they're really to develop the tourist assets within the community, also to look at building partnerships that will bring revenue streams to the community. And so that's foot traffic, and so they're looking at maximizing that. Some other initiatives that we have on the forefront and we work together is we have quarterly meetings with NWTC really to look at capacity building in the pipeline. It's beyond the higher education dollars that we give them. It's what services can they help us with our high school, with our youth, with after school program. The IT club is a good example of that. The cultural heritage campus and that expansion, we have that in at CDPC, so we report out there, and we just went after a grant to look at the amphitheater, so we'll keep our fingers crossed. Again, it was matched funds, too, so we were able to get some from an external market. The agricultural initiatives, obviously we have the Ag Summit coming up in April, and that's a big one. We did go to Warm Springs as part of that grant for community outreach, and they asked us to do that. And that was enlightening in the fact that they're also putting up a cannery. And because they're putting up a cannery for salmon, they have technical expertise in that type of packaging, and we could use some of that assistance. So this government-to-government relationship with Warm Springs will be great. The next step for that we're going to do is set up teleconferencing between Skin and Doe and them. So we're going to work on our teleconferencing so that when the tribal leaders want to talk to each other or staff members, we'll have that open forum for it. And then another thing that we're doing, aside from the food center, we keep trying to push that forward. We had USDA here and FSA, and they were very impressed with a lot of the work that we've done. They've continued to dialogue to try and find us some funding, grants, ideas, people to move our food center forward. And last but not least, the aquaponics. Pat Pelkey and I went to go look at one, and I think that's another element that can help our integrated food system. We're going to start looking at the funds for the feasibility study and eventually to look at a 5,000-square-foot aquaponics center that would have the fish and the lettuce or greens to be able to provide. So as I said in the beginning, we continue to push forward with collaboration and really looking at outcomes and initiatives together.
A motion to accept the report.
Thank you. We got a motion to accept the report by Patty Heft, supported by David Jordan. Discussion, Brandon?
We had a good presentation with Ovations yesterday, the contractor that Gaming's going through, and the chef there is really interested. He was in contact with the farm about how to purchase beef, but he wanted to expand that to the more of the local food. So I know Paul and Greg, you know, were interested in that portion of how he wanted to bring more local foods into his menus.
That is music to our ears, music, and we thank Ovations. I just sent an email out to see if maybe we could find some other partners for the Black Angus, because we do have a surplus, and it's rated as extremely top of the line by chefs, so we need to look at it. So I just sent a note to Nate about Delaware North and to Louise about Ovations, so thank you.
And the chef was very receptive in that opportunity. We're going to have a sit-down conversation with
that's
him.
That's awesome.
Or you guys can.
Thank you.
He also mentioned the farmer's market on Broadway, but I would like to specify our farmer's market that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Would be a good thing. Maybe with some local farmers that we have that maybe can partner with some of them.
Right. We looked at the Broadway Farmers Market also, and a lot of our vendors do go to Broadway, which is why we couldn't have more than one day out here because we have such small traffic. But we just need to keep plugging along.
Good. Very good. Mm-hmm. We have a motion with support. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move into appointments. Sapatis Manoman to the Arts Board, Oneida Arts Board.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Is she here? No. Okay, we have a motion to approve by David Jordan. Supported
by Patty Heft.
Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
We'd like to make another motion to post three more positions. There was only one applicant that applied, and there was four that were posted. So I would like to repost three more.
We have a motion stated by David Jordan to post three more positions, supported by Patty Heft. Discussion? All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next, quarterly reports, beginning with the Oneida Police Commission.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Sandra Vivalis, Oneida Police Commission. Okay. The Police Commission has met with the Chairman's Office regarding restructuring of the public safety. We are currently working on two alternate drafts. And one has been completed, and we expect the other one to be final by the end of the month. We hired three new officers. Two have completed their recruit academy and will be completing their field training. And we have one that's still in the process of being hired. We are still seeking applicants for the sergeant position and dispatch. Let's see. In cooperation with the community action team and the police department, we are working toward a plan to address community gang activity. The plan will include recommendations for additional legislation, collaboration, and agreements that support the vision of the Oneida Nation. We are all valued. We are within our budget. During November 6th through the 8th of 2013, all of the commissioners and staff attended the multi-jurisdiction conference that was held in Green Bay. We have a chart of some of the community crime information. We had call for assistance of 165. The response time for emergency was 6.75. For non-emergency, 10.25. We have 292 filings with the district attorney, and we have a number of 122 cases that ended in conviction. As you can see from the chart, we just listed the top 10 crime data for September through December, and our largest was warrants. For various, I'm not sure what the warrants were for, but we have them. And then for violent crime, our highest was battery, and then theft, and then criminal damage to property. Those were the highest. And these are not all of the crimes that have been committed. These are just the top 10. Um, This is the next chart is from the 2012 Community Gang Assessment regarding law enforcement data gathered from Oneida, Outagamie, and Brown County. The data has been and is being collected, is indicating a need for a community response to the violence that is steadily increasing within our community. In order to address these issues, we must work together. If you or someone you know needs assistance with gang prevention and intervention, please call 920-869-1088, extension 6289, and speak with Mandy. We have our annual open, or we have our monthly open meetings on the second Wednesday of every month, and everyone is invited to that meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra.
Any questions?
When do you have your meetings, your regular meetings?
Second Wednesday.
Second Wednesday? Where are they located? Ridgeview? And do you guys ever put anything in the Galawisox of people that for the in the community that they could call and if they have complaints or anything? Is there a kind of an updated thing that we could have in the Galawisox where people would know where to contact use? That would be good for knowledgeable for people to be knowledgeable on it and when the meetings are and what times they are and maybe contact numbers for the people that are on the commission. That'd be great. Thank you. Motion to accept the report.
A motion by David Jordan to
support.
Accept the report, supported by Tina Danforth. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Next, we have the Oneida Library Board.
Motion to accept the report.
Motion second. By Tina Danforth to accept the report, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Motion to defer ONVAC.
Item three, motion to defer the ONVAC report by David Jordan.
Second.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Is that to the next meeting?
Yes.
Oneida Powwow Committee.
Motion to accept the report.
A motion to accept the report by David Jordan. Second. Supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Oneida Arts Board.
Motion to accept the report.
A motion by David Jordan to accept the report.
Second.
Seconded by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next, CIOTS Board.
It says motion to defer.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by David Jordan to defer the CIOTS report, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving to standing committees, beginning with LOC quarterly. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I just put a motion on there to just accept the report.
Second.
A motion by Brandon Stevens to accept the report, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Looks like we're going to get some highlights, though.
Would you like highlights? I can give highlights. During this reporting period, we have added 4 new items to the active files list and completed work on 7 items. So our current active files list, as the time of this report, is 46. The new additions include two proposals for amendments to current laws, which are the child support law for published notice and hearing date, as well as the family court law, and to include bench warrants. The new laws and policies that were added are the rules of civil procedure and the rules of evidence. We worked on the various petitions that were filed to give the appropriate analysis that's required. The completed items were the following: child custody complaint, child support law amendments dealing with the enforcement of payments, the library board bylaw amendments, amendments to the early return to work law, amendments to the drug and alcohol-free workplace policy, amendments to the trust scholarship policy, amendments to the community support fund policy. And then we also worked on three resolutions, emergency resolutions for the pardon and forgiveness law, which is on the agenda today for permanent adoption. There were emergency amendments to the cemetery law, as well as emergency adoption of the furlough policy.
Okay. A motion with support and a vote. Okay.
Now we're ready for the minutes.
Okay, we'll now go into the December 4th.
Motion to accept.
A motion by Patty Heff to accept, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Pardon and forgiveness, the law amendments.
The pardon and forgiveness law amendments before you, there was an emergency adoption that was extended once in July. These are now permanent adoption. A handout for you was the financial impact statement. I handed it out first just to the business committee this morning because I did not yet have final approval from the CFO. I did talk to him this morning, and he has given the final approval for that financial impact statement. Basically, a review of the financial impact statement says that there is not a significant financial impact. If there are outstanding penalties or fines that are owed to the tribe, those obviously would have to get, or as part of the law, those have to get paid, so that would actually be a benefit to the tribe. So as far as the financial impact statement, he does not see any negative financial impact to the tribe for the adoption of these amendments. So the amendments allow a less cumbersome and lengthy pardon application process. It was quite the difficult process in the past. The new law clearly explains the eligibility requirements for a pardon or forgiveness. It authorizes the tribal secretary's office to handle all applications, and it sets out the duties and responsibilities for the screening committee, the tribal secretary's office, and the business committee. It allows the screening committee to recommend and then the business committee to place restrictions and conditions on a pardon or forgiveness, and it clearly defines and sets out the difference between a restriction and a condition. The restriction would be while you were working before, you were stealing money, and so you've asked for a pardon, we're granting you a pardon, but you can't work with money anywhere in the tribe ever again. That would be a restriction. A condition would be we're going to give you this pardon, but before we give you this pardon or forgiveness, we want you to go do 10 hours of community service or ensure that you pay restitution or write an apology letter to the tribe or to whoever you might have harmed. That would be a condition. So the screening committee can recommend one of those things to the business committee, and the business committee can accept that and make that happen with their final decision. Or if the screening committee does not recommend, the business committee can still on their own require a restriction or a condition. It also provides alternative hearing arrangements for applicants who reside outside of the state of Wisconsin and are not able to attend hearings in person. It allows victims, witnesses, and other persons to give oral testimony or a written testimony if they would like. It expands and revamps the definition section to include and more accurately define certain terms. It prohibits an applicant from appealing the business committee's decision, but does allow an applicant to reapply for a pardon or forgiveness 1 year after the first denial.
And overall, it just improves the clarity of the law, so it's for applicants, it's more understandable. We did have a public meeting on this on January 7, 2014, and we did have comments. The LOC reviewed those and made changes accordingly.
Motion to approve.
A motion by David Jordan to approve.
Noting that it's the resolution.
Yes.
You need to adopt the resolution.
Adopt the resolution. Pardon and forgiveness amendments.
Second.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. Next, GTC stipend meeting analysis.
This is based on the letter that was written by Lisa Summers with a request to take up the stipend issue to the General Tribal Council. There was an issue about how to treat, whether to treat it as a petition, but it did go to the LOC for an analysis. So what the LOC did was they held a work meeting and gave different options to potentially present to the GTC at a GTC meeting. Candace did that memo, so I'll turn that over to her. She can get a brief synopsis of that.
The three options that the LOC decided at the work meeting was, number one, to not have a change, to keep the GTC stipend payment at $100 currently. The second option was to increase the stipend to $125, but to require it to be paid out as a gift card. And then the third option was the choice of a $125 gift card or to keep the current stipend at $100. The intent, I believe, for the gift card was to redirect funds back to the tribe and hopefully increase revenue for the tribe. The choice with option three was that some tribal members use their stipend payment to pay for child care or dependent care, and they can't really do that with a gift card, so then they have that choice of the $100 or the gift card of $125. I just included some information on how much gift cards would cost. The GTC meeting stipend payment policy would not have to be amended according if we switched it to gift cards or the choice of the gift card or $100. However, there was a vote in November, I believe, of 2007 that set the stipend payment to $100, so a two-thirds vote would be required if we were going to switch that.
And this memo is just a proposal to go to GTC to cause the conversation to occur in regards to those different proposals so that the GTC can have that discussion. That's the intent of what this would do.
Did you have public hearings?
No, because we're not actually amending the law or the policy. We're simply proposing to GTC different options that they could consider.
I think that was part of the conversation that we had so that it would go to the LOC. Is this is similar to the business committee deciding to amend any of its policies or rules, and part of that procedure requires us to hold some public hearings. I think it would be a really good idea to have public hearings before we take it straight to the GTC member at large, the GTC meeting at large. So then we get some kind of sense, because I don't like any of the options so far. I think still more work needs to be done to really put some exhaustive options out there and get some feedback from tribal members at the public hearing process. And I think the public hearing process will help us winnow away what's not going to be acceptable and identify those top options that may have a chance of getting some support. So I would recommend that we send it back and the LOC take this through the public hearing process, just as you would any other amendment to any other law.
If I can respond to that, the problem with that is that the letter that was submitted to the business committee, and I remember the discussion at the business committee level, there was a disagreement as to whether or not to treat it as a petition because it wasn't provided through the formal petition process. And my recollection was that we were kind of treating it as a petition, and so that was the type of analysis that was requested. But the problem with treating it as amending a law is in that letter there was no clear amendment to the law. So for us to do changes and then have an analysis, that was a little difficult for us to do because there was no clear change to the law. There were ideas.
Yes.
And so there weren't there, and so the LOC met and had came up, the LOC came up with these options.
Yeah,
so,
well, the problem is no one owns this issue, and so it needs a business committee member to own it and run it through the process. And, you know, and it's a tough issue. I don't think anybody really wants to touch it. But I think it has, someone's got to own it and then decide what kinds of amendments, what kind of proposed amendments to consider and run them through the public hearing process.
Well, I don't necessarily agree. I don't think anybody needs to own it. I don't think it needs a public hearing. I think this is a decision that gets made at General Tribal Council, and, you know, it is within their forum, and I think it's appropriate to forward it as such. I think that was the whole debate, is how do you get it in front of GTC? So, well, here it is, ready to go. And just because we don't like it doesn't mean we have to make more restrictions or make the process longer. I don't agree with that.
I think the intent is really to get some really good, sound options in front of GTC and allow them to develop those options using the public hearing process. Because this is not a petition. This attempts to circumvent the petition process by not going out and getting signatures from people in order to really clarify what is the question and then getting signatures behind it to put it on the GTC agenda. This person came straight to the business committee to get around that process. And as a result, if the business committee accepts it, then it's a business committee initiative, and we have to decide, do we want to put this on the GTC agenda, and what option will we support? Because in the past, GTC, I think, has not been satisfied with how we've been coming forward on issues because we don't give them an option. We just give them the question at large and let them duke it out on the floor to decide what is best for the nation. And they expect us to do that, and we have not been able to do that lately. So I think on the stipend issue, you know, if the BC is going to own it, then we need to sit down and work with the staff and figure out, do we like the options that they're proposing, or could there be different ones? So.
Go ahead.
I think the question that's in front of the business committee right now is, in the process, a request for legislation was brought. It was forwarded to the LOC to consider if legislation should be developed or amendment to existing legislation. Their recommendation currently is we don't have any recommendations to develop. There is still discussion regarding this brought back to the business committee. Under the Legislative Procedures Act, public hearings really are geared more towards public comment on drafts of documents. The business committee holds community meetings that are geared towards that discussion process of interacting and trying to find out what is the membership as a whole interested in or interested in talking about. I would suggest that if you want to have this discussion regarding the General Tribal Council stipend, that it be placed on those business committee community meetings to have that discussion, at which point the business committee, having listened to the members at those meetings, can determine that, yes, there is a sufficient amount of interest and this appears to be the direction they want to go. We'd like you to develop legislation and then return that back to the LOC. I would request that the business committee simply accept the report and place this subject matter on a community meeting date to have that discussion, potentially return it to the Legislative Operating Committee if the discussion warrants that action.
That's good. I'd like to make that motion.
Donnie. Yeah. We're going to have our public hearing right now.
My name is Don McCarthy. Listening to what you people say up here is fine. Thing is, it's up here. We don't know about it. No, we get it after the water's over the dam, and it's too late for us to do anything or say anything. You say you want discussion about it. No, you let us discuss it. They should have sent a letter out to Colby Sox saying we're having a discussion. Send us the information, or What are the questions that you have to us? In turn, we'll get back to the LLC, see what they say, then bring it back to us. It shouldn't even be up to you guys yet. We should decide what we want you to talk about. Now, in order to do this, you've got to communicate. And we don't have communication on this reservation. We haven't had for years, and we still don't have it. We get letters in the Kaliwee Sox after the information. You go out together and get public hearings for people to come to. We'll have them when we can go to them, not during the day, not at supper time. It's got to be after supper where we can get there, when we take care of our family business. Everything's done according to your schedule. It's just like the programs they have here on the reservation. Anything from noon to 3. You guys don't like working after 3 o'clock or what? I'm not talking about you individuals, but the tribe. So how can we that work outside the tribe go to any functions or have our voice on anything? We don't. We can't. It's just this little moat up here, this little castle that you people live in. You take care of everything, then we hear about it, and we piss and moan about it, but we can't do nothing about it because the communications ain't there. Have these people put that out in Kaliwee Sox. They send out these little flyers. We got 10 questions. Do it like the Ho-Chunk people do. We're going to have 10 meetings on it. If you ain't going to come and participate, then we're going to decide. Leave it to the people on the reservation, not the people outside the reservation. They don't take care of this place. They don't give a shit about this place. All they want is their $100 stipends. We should be only be paying for the meetings that are called by the Constitution. That's the ones we should get stipends on. If you don't like it, tough. We're in a financial crisis here. You don't like it, tough. You new people should tell them that. That's your responsibility, not ours. You know where we are. If they don't like it, they'll let you know. Right? But tell them the way it is. You want $100 stipend? Come to the 4 meetings. You know, other than that, if you're that interested, you're that concerned, come on down. You're more than welcome. But we got to remember, this is a reservation here. It's not Milwaukee. It's not Chicago. What's going to do when something really goes down here? Are they going to come back and give us $100? Are they going to pay for our Social Security or our health care? Hell no. They won't even know who we are. You know, it wasn't until we got a stipend until you found out how many Indians you had in Wisconsin, especially Oneidas. But give us the information to work with. And all of each one of you business people sitting up there, stand up and say, hey, this might work, it might not work, but boy, let me know what you're doing up there, because you don't. Read the Kaliwee Sox, you know. People don't even read it anymore because there's a lot of jibber-jabber. You talk about this and that, but you don't call either one of you a spade. Hey, he's not doing it right. She's not doing it right. I don't agree with her. I've never seen any of you say that. I've never seen any of you stand on ground. Be honest with us. Tell us what's happening. No? We can't go with a stipend for every general tribal council. Make 6 out of the year, whatever. They'll show up for those 6. And the ones that really want to be there, they'll be there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Greg, if I could just clarify something. Mm-hmm. Patty had said, the BC already did support the request back on July 24th. So I just wanted to make sure, because it was supposed to be added to an existing GTC meeting agenda in October of 2013. And then we were directed to conduct an appropriate analysis. So the BC did already accept. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Right, but they have not decided on an option. And that's where we're at right now. So, you know, I think we've heard some good, we got some good feedback from a tribal member on, you know, what's needed. I think Chief Counsel gave us a good recommendation too on how to move forward on this, and we could start by adding this issue to the next work meeting and decide what option does the BC want to support for stipends for meetings.
Well, I agree with all of that. I just wonder how them community, because we've there again, it's not to look for the excuse of it, but when we have those community meetings, there is no structure in order to record those community meetings. Therefore, it just relies on who is in the room to have them. And then it can't really be ratified. Mm-hmm. So how do we, in that same sense, have the option to record get the minutes taken or whatever, because I think that's a key in making sure that the communication within that meeting is accurate and is available.
We could talk about those things at the work meeting then and how to schedule that out so that all of that happens.
Diane.
Brandon's
waiting. Oh.
With your conversation as far as those kind of community meetings are getting that information and communicating with the public, with the tribal community, that is one of the issues or one of the topics that was part of the report that was sent up with respect to the expansion of the ombuds function. We have a lot of people within the community, within the organizational structure that have been through different forms of community facilitation training that have the skills to do this. One of the functions of an organizational ombuds is a neutral. You're looking for unbiased minutes, and those are some of the things, again, from that report that currently has been deferred elsewhere at this point, is a service that can be provided or could have been provided through an expansion of that office. It's a neutral thing you're looking for. It's looking at one of those things is the service of servicing the community, providing that communication. You know, sometimes I think we start to shut things down, we shoot ourselves in the foot, and then we're sitting with constantly the same conversation. How do we get this communication going? How do we service the community? The community isn't getting the information. Kind of like one of the things that I continuously bring forward in my reports, the community doesn't know where to go to get the stuff, and we're not necessarily providing that collaborative interaction between the two. So once we figure out, like, again, that report was deferred over to quality of life, getting some solid direction on what the intent and purpose and desire of that would be very, very helpful, because it's putting things at a different standstill. But that's where that collaboration between entities needs to happen, and we can start to make those services happen and start to have that collaboration instead of this constant back and forth. Again, community members that are very dissatisfied because of the lack of communication, what seems to be a lack of trust, lack of transparency, we can start to address that if we stop burying things by constantly deferring them one place to another, and not ever getting the team together to sit down, look at it, and do something about it.
Thank you. Brandon.
And I guess to put into context, the person who wrote the letter, Lisa, her initial intent was to get the options out, have the business committee LLC go through some options and have those recommended options as, you know, a series of options. Not necessarily to go with one option necessarily, but just have it and have the conversation at General Tribal Council. And that would serve as the mode of the basic public meeting to have the discussion, because I don't think when we have those closed discussions in a small meeting with people, you get a certain amount of people with the same ideas, and you get those people to get that voice. And then the intent was the GTC having that bigger conversation because it's a big issue, and it should be in that venue where a lot of the ideas can be heard. And so that was the intent. And I still kind of believe in that. You know, we want to push that discussion off in a way, and then just have a decision that day. That's who that's where we've been going over these past several years. You know, we just want to have them say, "Hey, here's the issue. Decide. We don't want to talk about it. Decide." And so that's why I think this is one of those issues that we need to really discuss and have that frank conversation. You know, as a community saying, it's like, is that really the voice of what we want to go in that direction? Or are we going to have the conversation in this small group community meeting that, 10 to 20 people attend, on a Saturday morning, have those decide on what the options would be. Or we will have a set of options that the LOC recommended, business committee, maybe narrow that down more, maybe add a few more, and then add to that discussion. And so I'm still with the spirit of the person asking for the request and just having that larger conversation that it needs to happen in that fashion. But I'm also not totally against, you know, what has been recommended and having the BC. BC needs to own this now. LOC has done its job. BC needs to own it necessarily, you know, and push it however we feel. But, you know, it's kind of, I think GCC is the public meeting that we need to have the discussion in.
Patty.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the report and refer it to the next BC work meeting so we can begin preparing a plan to have the conversation with the community at large about this issue.
We have a motion by Patty Heff, the state in.
I'll second.
Seconded by Brandon Stevens. Discussion. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition, Tina Danforth. Abstentions? Motion carries. One abstention, Brandon Stevens. Motion carries. Donnie, you had some other insight.
When you passed all this, you're going to get together and have a meeting on it. And I don't always see it in the Colorado Sox of these meetings, that what you come up to. Mm-hmm. And by looking at this date to see what you discussed, you're going next month to discuss it. I don't see the outcome of it.
I don't know if there's a Gully Wesox reporter here today.
I don't know either, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't see any. And I very seldom even read it anymore.
Well,
I just don't like the garbage that's there because it doesn't tell me nothing. It tells me what you do and where you go, but that's fine. But I'm going to look to see what you're going to discuss on this because I don't fully agree with Brandon. You know, every time we go to General Tribal Council and have a discussion, all we do is have an argument. And then they vote on it, and 90% of them don't know what they're voting on. And they'll say that right there. Should I do this or should I do that? I just watch them over there. We need to make a decision on this reservation, bring it to General Tribal Council, and when you're in General Tribal Council, that's what you're there for. You're there to take action, not to discuss. You discuss what's up there and take action on it. If you went by Robert's Rules of Orders, we'd be out of there in 2 hours. But people don't even know how to do that. So I'd like to see a report on your report once you get together. In the Colorado Sox, if you can.
Yeah, I thank you for your comments. I know Joni Buckley, who's the division director that oversees the Colorado Sox. We've been talking for some time about the need that Colorado Sox needs to step up its game and do the work as we expect, as an objective, real newspaper, not a newsletter that regurgitates other people's news. But they need to take what's happening and explain it to the community at large. That's what we expect from a newspaper, and they've struggled for a long, long time to get to that speed. So hopefully this information, what you share with us, Joni's going to take that back to help her do her job. And then Brenda John Stevens is in the back. She's heading up a new office geared toward getting information like this to tribal members. She's standing back there, too, so I hope she heard your message as well, and this will help invigorate them to get to where you aspire us to get to.
Okay.
Finance Committee.
Next we have the Finance Committee.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by David Jordan to approve, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. CDPC.
Nothing.
We're at the GTC item.
Okay, item one under GTC. Include the April 6th in 2014 GTC meeting schedule.
Mr. Vice Chairman, at the last BC meeting, we approved a schedule for 2014. And missing from that schedule was a specific date for April or May. So I'm presenting today, April 6th, a Sunday, as the date for a meeting during that period. The schedule for 2014 is listed in the materials here, and it is a schedule of a minimum of six meetings this year for GTC business. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that we're only going to have six meetings. It just, this is the minimum. And it's an effort to secure space at the Radisson so that we're not scrambling at the last minute trying to make sure that there's space there. So the dates are February 16 at 1 o'clock. That's a Sunday. We'll deal with the GTC annual meeting business on Saturday at 10 o'clock. On March 22nd, we'll deal with the two items regarding the Oneida Seven Generations, the GTC decision in December regarding Oneida Seven Generations. On the new date that I'm adding to the list is 1 p.m. Sunday on April 6th. We'll deal with four petitions that are pending yet and two referendum questions. July 7 is our standing meeting date. That'll be the semi-annual meeting. That's a Monday at 6 p.m. Also note that July 7 marks the end of our annual community activity, the powwow. The powwow this year is July, it's over the weekend, July 4, 5, and 6 is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then we'll end that period with this date. Monday, September 22nd, will be our budget meeting, and we're trying to make sure that we don't conflict with the Apple Fest event, which is always going to be on the third Saturday in September.
Well, they change your Apple Fest date.
And then the last date there is November 15th, Saturday, and there's no business assigned there. That was a typo there. It shouldn't say the tribal budget for that meeting, so if you'll just make that correction. We'll start advertising and noticing the tribal members of this calendar so they can begin organizing their lives around these dates. And also we'll include, we do hold community meetings prior to every GTC meeting date, as we heard about today, the need to do that. So we'll try to make sure that we bolster up information about that so people are more aware of that. So the action I'm requesting today is just approval of April 6 as that final date to the schedule.
Motion to approve.
And I'll second it.
A motion by David Jordan to approve April 6th as the date, supported by Patty Heft. Discussion, Chaz, looks like, or a different subject?
Well, hypothetically, if I were running for the business committee, I'd want to make a big issue out of community involvement. I think having meetings is one part, but the structure of having the meetings is still needs to be revisited by somebody. There's been miserable failure in trying to assemble districts to do that. You get two or three people at a meeting, and is that a successful meeting? So I think having a GTC meeting set up is one part, but then having a community meetings before them with poor attendance, I'm not sure what the success is of that. And I'm not sure who has a role to do that other than we have a new division, tribal member services, we have governmental services, we have a lot of different units that do outreach. So I think if there's going to be some larger collaborative effort among the 262 funding units, corporations, and the boards, committees, and commissions, we'd have a better participation by the membership, because certainly members of people here, most of them are employees, and maybe they're also community members too. But it's a difficulty, and we all know we've been dealing with this for some time over those dual hats. So I just think there's an opportunity here to address the larger issue within just having a meeting is how we have a meeting, what the goals are of that meeting, recording that meeting, because oftentimes when people come, you're the only ones that know what's going on. So all the rest of the membership, if you want GTC members, 21,000, over 21 GTC members, by definition, how do they know about anything? We got average of 1,500 coming to meetings now at GTC, 30% are employees. And, you know, we get our information internally, but what about the membership, the other 70%? Where do they get their information? Rumor, Walmart aisles, yada, yada, Gully Weezox. You know, they get it from all over the place. So I think there's an opportunity here to structure those meetings, not only GTC meetings, but prior to that, so that we have good behavior, we have good minds, we have good discussion, we have awareness, we have understanding what the subjects are, so that when we do go into ultimately GTC to make a decision, we're well-informed to make a good decision. I'm not sure who handles that anymore. Certainly, there's different roles people have in the organization, or if it's volunteers from the community want to step up. That may be another way. We oftentimes see it as a staff role, and I don't think it's just that anymore. We have a lot of members here, Brown, Outagamie County, who attend GTCs. As you'd all know, the majority are from here. So we maybe need to lean on them a little bit. And maybe that's one of the first steps. So just a concern, I'm not sure. I'm not giving you any recommendation other than a concern about how do we do this. It's more of a big question that is not a rhetorical question that somebody should answer. And maybe the membership need to do it more efficiently. I mean, that seems to be a way to get everybody's attention nowadays.
Okay. We have a motion with support. And a recommendation, Chaz, to sit down with Donnie right now and help begin that process? Because we are, well, if you would have been here 10 minutes ago, you'd have known we were talking about that. So. Okay, we have a motion with support. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. Okay, unfinished business. EPOL approve sign waiver for the book introduction by Laura Cornelius Kellogg.
Motion to retro approve the EPOL.
A motion to retro approve the EPOL by Patty Heft.
Second.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Two abstentions, Tina Danforth and David Jordan. Motion carries. Item two, designate use of Oneida Tribal Hotel room tax collections.
Motion to defer back to the chairman's office to bring back a recommendation.
A motion by Patty Heft to defer, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Abstentions. Opposed.
One opposition, Tina Danforth. Abstentions? Motion carries. New business request. Item one, approve a 3-year contract between Wisconsin Public Service Corporation and casino.
Motion to approve.
A motion by David Jordan to approve.
Second.
Supported by Patty Heft. Discussion.
Acknowledging that the motion to approve includes a limited waiver of sovereign immunity, which is the reason it's placed in front of the business committee.
So noted. Thanks.
We have a motion with support. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Item two is 2014 employee compensation benefits. Geraldine. And good. Morning.
Good morning. We have a request for internal security to approve their workforce levels. We previously did a request, I think last month, to expand on the number. This one is specifically for maintaining their workforce levels so we don't have to keep coming back to fill their security officer positions.
Yep, similar to what gaming did, was we'd like to pull from a pool when we need to. We're currently budgeted for 153, and we have 136 on staff. We went through, since this fiscal year, we went through 7. In December, we recently went through 4 in 1 month. As far as, I don't know if you guys have that information, but we had two resignations, one of our employees passed away, and a termination. So, and then we had a resignation in January. So we'd like to pull from a pool position
as needed
for the remainder of fiscal year 14.
Make a motion to approve, noting that you will not be able to go over your budget.
Okay. Second.
A motion made by David Jordan to approve, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition, Tina Danforth. Abstentions? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, you know, I'm opposing because of budget consideration. We're lagging behind budget right now, and we keep asking people to reduce their workforce numbers, and we keep getting requests monthly, if not twice a month, to make procedural exceptions. And I'm just trying to be consistent about the need to reduce the liability of the tribe by increasing workforce numbers. And so it's not about security, it's about the overall condition of the tribe right now from a financial standpoint. And that's for the record.
Okay. Thank you. Item 2, Tribal Internet Gaming Alliance. Informational meeting by Chairman Delgado. Yeah. You did not attend the meeting. I don't know how you want to address that.
Motion to delete from the agenda.
Okay.
Support.
A motion to delete that item from the agenda by Patty Heft, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Mm-hmm. Motion carries. Item 3 is 2014 Governor Walker State of the Address. The request was by Chairman Delgado. He's fell ill. He's asked me to attend the event. I've agreed to do that. It's beginning this evening. So I don't know where you want to go with that.
Motion to approve travel for the Vice Chairman to attend the State of the State Address today and tomorrow in Madison.
I have a motion by Patty Heft. As stated.
Second.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. Discussion. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We have, you want to go into addition?
Yep, one addition by the Councilman Brandon Stevens for travel.
Yep, we have a travel request by Brandon Stevens to attend a paid trip by NIGA to attend the conference.
Motion to approve.
A motion to approve the request by David Jordan.
Second.
Supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Abstention.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention.
Abstain.
One abstention, Brandon Stevens.
I just wanted to note, Brandon, is NIGA paying for this travel?
Correct.
Okay, yes. I just wanted to make sure we note that in the record.
He did it when he announced it.
That takes us into executive session.
Lost it.
Starting with the chief counsel report.
Okay. The executive items. Beginning with the chief counsel report.
My apologies, there was no report submitted as I just returned from vacation and hadn't had time to get to it.
We did talk about the item under number A, and I'll just make a motion to accept the report regarding the recycling and garbage item.
We have a motion by Patty Heft to accept the report, including the item A regarding the recycling pickup services in the village of Hobart.
Support.
We have support by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. Item 2 is a gaming general manager bi-monthly report.
Motion to accept the report.
Support. Motion by Patty Heft to accept the report, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. That was including item A?
Yes.
Okay. Item 3, legislative affairs monthly report.
Motion to approve or accept.
A motion by David Jordan to accept the report.
Second.
Supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Item B, Audit Committee, Brandon.
There was nothing submitted there.
Nothing on the agenda.
Going to item C, unfinished business. Request deadline extension of proposed ATM service agreement.
Yep. We want to approve this. I'm not sure, Joanne, are we referring this to your office to prepare? to request the ATM services proposal with the Menominee?
The response is in the chair's office. It's simply waiting approval by the business committee for signature. It's already been drafted.
Okay, so it's a motion to approve asking for an extension.
No, it's motion to approve the extension requested by the Menominee Gaming.
Oh, they asked. We already have the extension.
Yes.
So it's a motion to approve the extension for the ATM services agreement for the Menominee Kenosha facility.
Support.
A motion by Patty Heft is stated, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. New business request. Item 1, 2014 compensation benefits.
Motion to approve the workforce levels change and move the existing limited term employee with the position. I don't know if we do we have to be specific, Geraldine, with the okay.
Support.
Here we have a motion by Patty Heft as stated, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item A, Chief Financial Officer.
B, Environmental Housing, Oneida Housing Authority.
Item B, Environmental Oneida Housing Authority, to approve hiring a limited term employee.
Motion to deny the request for a limited term employee in the Administrative Assistant 1 position in Housing Authority, but approve to post this position and continue the emergency temporary employee for additional 90 days or until the position is filled through the posting and hiring processes.
We have a motion by Patty Heft as stated.
Second.
Supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. Item C, Oneida Police Department, to accept action of EPOL placing Kayleen Gresham as position of Emergency Management Director in an interim basis.
Motion to approve placing the Assistant Emergency Management Director in the Emergency Management Director position on an interim basis for a period of 6 months with a 15% increase.
Support.
We have a motion by Patty Heft as stated, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
The next is in additions, starting with the Treasurer's Report of 2013 for December.
Motion to approve the report.
A motion by Brandon Stevens to approve the Treasurer's Report, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
The next item is a request from myself to extend the LTE position and post for the executive clerk position. So I'll make that motion is to approve the posting of the tribal executive clerk position and to approve a procedural exception to extend the current employee in the limited term position for an additional 90 days or until the position is posted and filled through the interviewing process.
Yeah, motion is stated by Patty Heft.
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries.
The third item is a request for a legal review of the tribe's agreement with PTAC. So my motion is to approve a request for a legal review of the tribe's agreement with PTAC.
Yeah, motion by Patty Heft is stated.
Second.
Seconded by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition, Tina Danforth. Abstentions? Motion carries.
And the last item, we would have to go back into executive session, so we'll need a motion to do that to consider the employment contract for David Dubinsky, MD.
Do we have information to back up that request?
We're going to get it, yeah.
Motion to go back into executive session.
Motion, second.
A motion by David Jordan to go into executive session, supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Motion to come out of executive session.
Second.
Motion by David Jordan to come out of executive, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. We are on the item of 2014 compensation employee benefits regarding a contract with the Dr. David Zabinski.
Make a motion to approve the amendments of the employment contract of David Dubinsky's MD.
We have motion by David Jordan, as stated.
Second.
Supported by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second. By Patty Heft, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank
time
you.
Is 11:01.